It's 10 o'clock in Mountain Time. It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Tom and Shane Business and Politics. So we're here every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 a.m. And happy to be along with you today. And of course, we got an election coming up in 30 some days, Shane. So we're going to make the award-winning Tom and Shane. We're going to predict the 2022 midterm election. And will we be right? We are on the record, Shane. We are on the record.
That's right. oddly enough, from a non-American point of view, it's totally different than yours. And with what's going on globally, we see this election in Brazil now as a runoff between a conservative and a liberal. The Italians have elected their first prime minister. That's a woman. That's a nationalist conservative. Several other countries in Europe are basically taking the same route, in Belgium. And I mean, Italy's amazed me because, this is like their, I don't know what, something like their 68th or 69th government since World War II.
They
have elections like dirty underwear. They're doing their laundry.
Once a week.
They have them so often. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Pretty remarkable. So it appears that with the nature of what's happening globally, which I think is important to consider before you jump into these elections, I'd like to give some context. I really view these elections on a global basis. I give Americans more credit, particularly people that vote that are aware not just of the U.S. economy, but global economies, because when most Americans go to the store, I mean, especially places like Costco, the stuff they buy is global. Mm-hmm. And, Costco works on a volume basis. But understandably, the fact is that the things that you buy so inexpensively there that are things you don't need really. But, you look at a oversized candle and a, iron holder with glass.
What does this have to do with the election?
That's what I'm talking about. It does. So with the U.S. dollar strengthening and the other dollars weakening and the economies of the world looking in really rough shape, I think that'll be the decision factor, will be the economy. But we'll see if we're right, if it's, the election's stupid or it's the economy stupid.
Yeah. Well, I'll make the first prediction right off the bat. The Republicans are going to lose the Senate and they're going to lose the House.
Okay.
It's gonna stay in Democrat hands for a couple reasons. One is abortion is on the block. Particularly in the Senate races, which we're going to cover here in a second. The Senate races, people are fearful that the Senate is going to, if the Republicans control the Senate, they're going to enforce a abortion ban, total ban of abortions. And that's in every state. Most of the states I've looked at, abortion is an issue on the ballot. Like it or not, it's there. So I think
that's going to knock them out. I don't think that's the principal issue. That's why this is going to be a good conversation, as it may be. I think it's the economy. I think it's a concern about the policy with regards to the warmongering that's being shouted around by everyone. Plus, I think inflation is a big one because it just hits people hard right away, with the price of gas now, even going back up again in California and food. But yeah. I don't agree with you. I think that the Republicans will pick up at least two Senate seats, perhaps as many as four or five. And I think they'll pick up at least 20 to 25 in the House, given that's historically basically what the number is. But if even in the next two or three weeks numbers aren't any good with the economy, I think it could turn into something bigger and maybe they pick up 40 or 50, even 60 seats in the House. So that's my call.
Well, right now in the Senate, 14 Democrats, 21 Republicans are up. 21 Republicans have got to win just to almost keep even, stay even, Shane.
Well, we'll run through these real quick.
49.
Yeah, in Alabama, it's Richard Shelby, Republican. He's ahead by 15. Alaska, Lisa Murkowski.
Oh, wait, whoa, 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 whoa.
What? What?
You're not going to go through 50 states.
No. I'm just going to quickly go through the ones that are up for election, because then you can call it one way or the other. No, I'm not going. I'm not going to go through everyone. I'm going to go through the ones that are people are looking at. Arizona is the first one of Mark Kelly, yeah. who is a replacement. Mm-hmm. They have him behind and the Republican ahead by two. What's your call?
Yeah, in Arizona, yeah, that's going to be probably the one of the most interesting elections. Kelly had a 5-point lead one time. Again, Masters, he's attempted to moderate his abortion position since he won in August, and he got a Trump endorsement. But a recent court decision there allowed the enforcement of a 1901 state ban on nearly all abortions, and that's given Democrats extra fodder for the Republicans to go down in that state. So
okay, so you don't think the Republicans will take Arizona?
It's going to be awfully close. They're a 5-point. It depends on that abortion deal, and I think it's pretty, okay. It's pretty powerful.
Colorado, I guess, is the next one. People have been talking about it. Michael Bennett is there, and most polls still have him ahead. It'll be interesting. That'll be another interesting possibility for the Republicans. But it's too tight to call. I think it'll be decided on election day, and then mm-hmm. We skip down, of course, to the big Georgia election. Yeah. Raphael Warnock.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, and you think he'll keep his seat?
Yeah. No doubt.
Okay.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Interestingly enough, Shane, this will be the first time in history that there's been multiple Senate races in the same year with black candidates, Warnock and the football guy. His name just left me. Russell or whatever the hell his name is, Jesus. Uh-huh. Anyway, and in South Carolina, it's Tim Scott is running against Christy Matthews. So that's first time in history. It's just a little trivia to throw out there for you.
Yeah, yeah, I think Illinois could be interesting. I mean, Tammy Duckworth, of course. She's I believe, a veteran and so forth. And
She's a disabled veteran, by the way.
Yeah, she's a disabled veteran, and they still have her winning. But, mm-hmm. things that have happened in Illinois it'll depend on how people decide to vote and how many Democrats decide to switch and vote Republican. So, mm-hmm. Let's see with regards.
Yeah, I don't see her in any danger whatsoever.
New Hampshire, there's a possibility that Maggie Hassan might lose to, I think it's Sununu, or that's running against her, the son. Or no, he's governor. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's a possible pickup for the Republicans. We'll see again on Election Day what the people, good people of New Hampshire, such a small place. It's funny watching the election returns, because they're only in the tens of thousands, right? Because it's just, it's quite mm-hmm. funny.
Well, once again, the Republicans wanted Sununu to run for that seat.
Yeah.
Because he was an abortion rights supporting nominee. And again, abortion raises its ugly head in these elections that, mm-hmm. They've both been touting the abortion issue in their things and or their campaign ads. And Biden carried the state by 7 points. We'll see where that one comes down.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I guess we skip down, and I guess the most likely one to look at is, again, Oregon, because, these are the states that probably Oregon and Washington, I think, are pretty likely to be tight. Oregon has the Democrat who's the incumbent. Ahead, but there is, again, one of these things that you talk about. Pennsylvania is fascinating. Mm-hmm. Pat Toomey owes his Senate seat to Trump because he endorsed him in 16. That's why he's retiring, because he doesn't like Trump anymore. And Trump told him, with what you've done in the Senate, I'm going to, run candidates against you. And so he decided to retire. And as you know, it's the Dr. Oz and the trustee baby for the woke Democrats. So we'll see where that, but you think the Democrats will keep or take it?
Yeah, I do. Fetterman, I can't imagine a worse candidate than Fetterman. I watching this guy, it's remarkable to me that anybody even gives him any credibility.
But you think he'll win? I think he's going to win
because Oz's comments during the primary about abortion.
Okay.
And he's tried to walk that back. Plus, he's a doctor. That's another strike against him in the abortion situation. Well, no matter what kind of doctor he is, if you got doctor in front of you, you got some thought about abortion. And Fetterman's favorability ratings are also consistently higher than Oz's. So, man, I can't even believe a Senate with Fetterman in it. But that would be the way it goes.
So the final one, I think, that's a possibility for a pickup is Washington, Patty Murray. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And with everything that's gone on in Seattle with the COVID and the burning and the destruction and, some local races there, including the governorship, which we'll talk about in a minute. We'll see where that goes. It appears it's, pretty solid for her because she's been there for, this is her third time up. So this is her, she'll be going into, another 6 years and after 12, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see how, it's going to be very interesting to see how tight these are.
Yeah. Well, the big race, to me, anyway, is Florida. Rubio and Val Demings. This is a big race because the entire state was just damaged by a hurricane. And I don't know if people are going to be concerned about going to vote in 30 days when they don't have a home, or they can't, the highways aren't open yet, or any number of things, Shane, that could happen down there. Everything is a mess.
Well, it not only that, but the Republican part of the state is what got hit, from Sarasota all the way up. I'm agreeing with you. So the southern part of the state that tends to be more liberal, the Miami and south and tends on that side of the coast, the East Coast didn't get hit. They're going to have to work extra hard, the Republicans, to make sure that they get all their people on the panhandle. The eastern part of the panhandle got whacked. And, of course, as I said, Sarasota across to Orlando. So that may very well play into that election,
Yeah, well, it's also going to play into the gubernatorial election of DeSantis.
Possible. That's possible. Although I do think he's got a pretty good support in the southeastern part of the state.
Well, support doesn't have anything to do with it. It's whether or not people can get to the polls or not.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the southeastern part of the state Miami region.
Well, Dade County is the only one that's the problem in South Florida. The rest of it, the Cuban community, is all Republican.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people in that part of, they see the work that he's done, and I think he's done a remarkable job. He's the only one that's been real about the whole COVID issue, stood up to the government, stood up to the FDA, stood up to the teachers' unions and everyone else. So we'll see, I do believe you're right about that. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. You went to gubernatorial, is that
what you wanted? I only mentioned it because of Florida.
Oh, okay. Well, we're done with the Senate.
Let's go on
to the governorships here.
Yeah, but I don't think the issues matter at all in Florida. It's whether or not people can get to the polls or not. It's, and if there are polling places or if they do it by mail, how's the mail going to come? You know, the roads are out, streets are out. It's a mess down there, and yeah, we've only got 30 days to fix it.
So moving on to the governor's races, the one that stuns me the most is Gavin Newsom. I know he'll probably get reelected and probably by a significant amount, but I just don't know what it takes for Californians to look at San Francisco and L.A. and their backyard.
Well, that's the whole thing is those, you know, San Francisco, L.A. and
San Diego.
San Diego. Yeah. The other one. Yeah, because on 2021, they tried to recall this guy. I mean, they got enough signatures to get a recall on the ballot, and they still didn't get rid of him.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so, and plus, he's got aspirations for the presidency as well, Shane, as you know.
Of course he does.
So I don't think
he's the only one on their bench.
well, he and Mayor Pete.
Yeah, right.
And AOC, she'll be old enough a month before the 2024 election to run. So that's there. And they are looking for younger people. They're tired of Bernie. They're tired of Elizabeth Warren. You know, they're tired of these old guys. They need somebody in there like another Kennedy or, you know, somebody like that. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think California is done like dinner. So
the Democrat in Colorado, Jared Polis, Polis. He's a tight race for governor. We'll see where that goes. I guess the best one that we talked about Ron DeSantis already. So Georgia, Kemp is probably strong enough to maybe hold that governor seat in Georgia. Although a lot of Republicans are upset with how he handled the election, but we'll see if that interferes with it. The next one is Pritzker. He's running again in Illinois. And that's why this is going to be interesting because along with the Senate race, he's one of the benefactors of the Hilton, you know, empire and a billionaire. And so we'll see. But, you know, Illinois has just across the board been so poorly run. We'll see where that one goes.
The problem with Illinois is you got Chicago. The whole rest of the state's red. So all you got to do is campaign in Chicago, and you're done.
That's right. That's right. So whether they're tired of their mayor and even him, we'll see. Again, it's going to be interesting because this is going to really determine whether people want to proceed with this woke agenda. Mm-hmm. And that's where this will go. That's why it's so important. Maine.
Well, the problem with all these cities, Shane, Chicago, New York, San Francisco, L.A., San Diego,
Boston, Baltimore, New York, Washington, D.C.
All of these. Nobody is looking to the Republican Party. They're looking for where is the Democrat that's going to turn this around? Not where's the Republican that's going to turn this around. Where's the Democrat that's going to turn this around? And I'll keep voting for Democrats till I get one that will fix this.
That's sort of a sad state of affairs.
Well, it is, but that's what it is. I mean, that's what it's been for years. Chicago, New York have been Democrats since the beginning of time.
So Michigan, this is a great one with Gretchen Whitmer.
Yeah.
I think
what a piece of work she is.
I just think that maybe the people of Michigan, you know, they're thrown in the towel on the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. We'll see. And Minnesota's weird because it's the governorship there is up for Graham. Tim Walz has got a pretty good lead. But, you know, again, after COVID and the destruction of the state, you look at it and you go, oh, well, okay. One I want to really look at is Nevada, because again, that will determine a lot too with regard to the House. The Democrats running again, but it's a toss up. I think we'll see how. I mean, if they vote, if the entertainment industry, you know, the maids and butlers and you know, busboys vote Republican, then you know that'll be an interesting situation to occur there. New Mexico is somewhat.
Hang on. Do I get to comment on any of these?
Because you, unless I thought you agreed, so I'm sorry.
Well, I'm saying what might determine this in Nevada is that Slovak got 49% of the vote the last time, and running for second term. But Lombardo is a sheriff down there. He's Clark mm-hmm. County a sheriff, and you know, if they're fed up with the border and law and order, you know, he's got a shot. But boy, it's a remote shot, but he's got one.
Mm.
Okay.
Next. So Sununu, I guess in New Hampshire, I mean, I think it's pretty safe, but the Democrats have spent a lot of money there to try and beat him. We'll mm-hmm. see where that goes. But and whether mm-hmm. that his success again as governor and the son of yeah. the previous governor, we'll see how that lines up. It's interesting how some of these eastern or these blue states, you know, aren't called purple because, you know, especially in the Northeast, you know, where they have a Republican governor, like yeah. in Massachusetts, right? But yeah. you know, but they have a
every other district,
you know, Democratic senators. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Well, in this case, Sununu got 65% of the vote when he ran last time.
Yeah,
and Tom Sherman, being a Democrat, this could or being a physician. This could play into the abortion idea as well, Shane. They might feel we need a doctor, Democrat doctor in there mm-hmm. to stop abortion.
So we move down to really quick. Let's go back to Pennsylvania with this because Tom Wolf mm-hmm. is a Democrat and he's term limited. Mm-hmm. So they do, you know, they'll probably again that Senate vote may affect it because if Oz wins. It's one of these things. If Oz wins, then I think the Republican for governor will win. You know, it's one to me. That's mm-hmm. the way that's just how I look at it.
Well, yeah, I agree with you there that many times, and that's why we're talking about these governors for states that, you know, half the people listening to us don't live in. The governor can many times pull the senator and the representatives on his coattails or
that's
her
right.
coattails.
Yeah.
So that's exactly. that's what makes it kind of. That's why we're covering the governors as well. Fetterman was a lieutenant governor, so he's not an unknown in Pennsylvania. Oz is. Oz hasn't run before, I don't think, for anything. You know, you've got a known against an unknown. And
well, I don't think Dr. Oz is unknown to the people. He's had a television
he's,
show
he's
for
unknown,
years.
He's unknown in politics, let's
yes.
put it that way.
Yeah.
But Donald yeah. Trump was, too.
That's so. Right. Texas, so I don't think Greg Abbott will have an issue with what he's doing there. I don't think Kristi
Noem. With O'Rourke. Yeah, not with O'Rourke.
No, and I don't think Kristi Noem in South Dakota will have a problem.
No. No.
But Vermont is interesting because here we go. It's a Vermont. It's a Republican. Uh-huh. Bill Scott, you know, he got 68% of the vote last time around.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people think that the Democrats might win this state in this governorship. Yeah. So,
well, you're in Bernie territory there, of course.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
We'll see. You know, they can certainly pull it out. That's like Carolina with Claiborne. You know, the whole state is
yes.
South Carolina, I should say. The whole state's Democrat or Republican, except for his district.
Yeah,
and he to show the power, he was the guy that gave the nomination to Biden. These guys, these Democrats, have a lot of pull in the state, regardless of what the demographic or the color of the state is. So they can turn the people out, and that's what I was saying about Florida. You know, are the people are they gonna say, hey, I'm gonna kiss this election off because I got to build my house or fix my street or something? So I don't know. Florida's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, Wisconsin is, I think, important to talk because I think it's a toss-up. The Democrat Tony Evers is running again. He got 49.5% of the vote last time, mm-hmm. but I think again, I think this is going to be the economy and COVID and the destruction in the state and what happened there. And mm-hmm. I think there's a good chance that the Republicans could pick this seat up and this governorship. And you know, the governorships are important because they set agenda for the national. For the country, they're basically mm-hmm. potential you know, identified they potentially could run for president, like, you know, the mm-hmm. governor in California and so on and so forth, or in Florida mm-hmm. or Texas, you know. And before we move to the House, I just want to say again, my position is very simple. If the Republicans take the House and the Senate, Trump runs mm-hmm. again. But if they don't take both, if they only take one or the other, or they lose both, like you think, mm-hmm. Trump won't run. He's not going to run with a Congress against him. He just, there's no point in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's run to the House real quick.
All right, real quick. Hang on before you get too excited here. Slow okay. down.
No, down. I'm looking at the time.
What time?
Okay, go.
All right. As we know, all the House of Representatives, all seats are up every 2 years. Yeah. And we've got 49 representatives and one non-voting delegate, 30 Democrats and 20 Republicans are retiring, 17 of whom, 9 Democrats and 8 Republicans, are going somewhere else. They're going for mayors of big cities, they're going for attorney generals, they're going for Senate from the House.
Or going whatever. Home.
Yeah, or going home. One of those. So.
Yeah, there are 435 members of the House.
Yes.
But 4 of them are just representatives. They don't vote.
Yeah.
So you mm-hmm. need 218 seats for a majority.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right now, the Democrats hold a 222 or a 4-seat majority.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans are 213. Yeah. So they only need, they only need to win 5, take 6 seats away from the Democrats, and the Republicans take control.
Do they really? And I'll tell you why I say that. Republicans are notorious for not voting with the party. Democrats, they've got blinders on. They're in a tunnel. I mean, there's no escape to the right or left. You know, Republicans come to Wise and you know, 5 streets going one way or the other. And so I think they're going to need more of a majority than just 5 to get anything done.
Well, I agree with you, but I'm just, yeah. for people watching, I just wanted to mm-hmm. give them an understanding how close this is.
Yeah, no, it's close.
You know, there's been right. several interim elections at the end of 2020, you know, the Republicans had 209 seats. So
mm-hmm.
since then they've picked up 3 and in special elections. So that, you know, that's sort of important to recognize that's, you know, been something that's worked well for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has.
So, did you have any congressmen in particular that you're looking at, or, you know, there's,
well, you got to go to California, obviously. Nancy Pelosi, California District 11, up 37 points. You've got Eric Swalwell, the well-known the loudmouth of the House. He's up 22. And let's see, who else we got in there? We got somebody else in there. Adam Schiff, I think, is in here somewhere, too, if I can find him. But anyway, he's up again. Yeah, he's up 23. So, yeah, that's the bad news from there. The only Republican might be Daryl Issa, and that's redistricted. And so... he will probably retain his seat, I'm guessing. So, but yeah, these other folks are, it's going to be a Democrat shoe-in in California, as it always is.
Unless you know, they've mm-hmm. made a determination, the people of California, that, you know, I've had enough, you know.
Well, they should have, you would think they would have had enough when they recalled Newsom. But they didn't. So, and
well,
they,
that was a plurality.
They went for Biden. So
that was a plurality vote. So I it's just yeah. one of those situations where, you know, the left has a very, you know, look, the left has a 31% solid footing, and they always vote. The Republicans have 34. So, you know, that's, you know, the rest is independents, undecided,
right,
and libertarians in the middle. So, you know, the plurality vote on both parties results in how many in the middle or how many crossovers make the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really think that the libertarians, undecided, and independents will probably move to the Republican side because of so many reasons, mm-hmm. demographics and work and so forth. I mean, the Republican, the Democrats have done everything they can to buy everyone's vote in every age group, you know, every demographic. So,
well, California, once again, is going to be abortion.
I just hope the October surprise from Biden will be another big check for everybody with Social Security. That would probably help.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but California, as you say, it's one of these states where, you know, either party, wherever they are, whatever district it is, you know, like the Republicans are ahead 16 or 8, you know, just like the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
9-4-12, you know, congressmen, you know, people have never heard of. But as you say, the Congress people that people have heard of are probably safe. And that's why they say what they say, because they can say anything and feel that, you know, their group, their support, their voting block will be with them.
Yeah.
Maxine Waters is a perfect example. I mean, District 43, you know, it's LA, 32 points, you know, she's up from.
Yeah.
And she's been there since 1990. I know.
Anybody who listens to her is
32 years. That's 16 elections.
I know. That's beyond help if you listen to Maxine. But as I said, the Democrats are not waiting for a Republican to change things. They are waiting for the next big Democrat. And they're going to keep voting Democrat until that Democrat comes along.
Yeah, well, they thought Obama would do it, and he made it worse. And they thought that Biden would, because he was with Obama, and they didn't think, you know, and of course that, you know, the 2020 election was a walk back, meaning people went back to their party. They didn't, you know, stay with the Republicans. They went back to the Democrats. So, I hope we'll see, that basically change, but not likely. So. Next state's Colorado. We're not going to go through all of these. What other state do you think that might make a difference?
Well, I don't think any state's going to make a difference in the
House.
Yeah, in the House.
But if where do you think the Republicans are going to pick up 5 to 60 seats? I mean, that's what you're looking at. Right?
Well, they're going to have to pick them up in the red states, and I don't see any red states where that's going to happen. I mean, I don't. I mean, if you got one, point it out. Show me where Republicans are running ahead. You know?
I think in Illinois, I think in Michigan, I think in Arizona, Nevada. I definitely think, in Texas, and I think that Wisconsin, Michigan. I think all of these states that have had really bad management and suffered terribly, not just because of COVID, not with COVID happening, but because of what happened with COVID, meaning all the destruction and the lack of law and order. It's an amazing play for us, because when you look at it from the standpoint of the map that you can look at that shows all these states and shows you, I mean, you have such a wide gap between red states and seats in Congress, of course, to blue states with population, because the House is predicated on population.
That's true.
The Senate is on equal representation.
But look at the last election, Shane. You've seen the map of the counties, right?
Yeah, Trump took them all. He was a wipeout again, in 2020. Yeah.
Okay.
But that didn't help him this time. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the Biden Trump election.
I'm talking about it too.
Look at the counties. The whole country's red.
I'm looking at that, but if you look at the map for Congress too, and where the seats presently exist, it's, you know, it's all red. There's, you know, 85% of the counties are Republicans. So but once again, like in Montana, you have a new, you know, you have a new representative.
We have a new seat. Yeah.
You have a new seat, and it stretches from the Canadian border almost all the way to Bozeman. Like it goes.
Yeah. It does.
I mean, well, down to the southern side of the Missouri River. Like,
well, you're going to have half the state for one representative and half the state for the other. So that's how.
Yeah, but that's so weird. I mean, they didn't.
Why is it weird?
Well, because instead of breaking your state up by area, they broke it up, of course, by voters. And they included the most Democratic cities in this new seat. You know, Missoula, Great Falls, Glacier County, Whitefish, Kalispell.
Yeah.
You know, these are all very liberal places. So it's quite fascinating.
Yeah, it is. Let's look at a couple of comments. Shane, Bruce got a couple here. I agree with Shane. It's the economy. Cost of fuel, milk, and bread are all doubled in 2 years. And 16 governor races, 5 are red. Can we pick up another 5? Well, maybe so. And Linda disagrees with me. I predict the Republicans will take the Senate and the House.
Thank you, Linda.
And we shall see, because
she is my sweetheart, not yours.
Yeah.
Nanny, nanny.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda. I appreciate the support there, kiddo.
All right. Well, it's going to be interesting. We've only got 30 some days. A lot can happen in 30 days. Nobody knew we were going to have a hurricane in Florida.
And you know what's really remarkable?
What?
We're going to be having a podcast that day.
I know. Yeah.
On election day. So that.
Well, it'll be too early in the morning though to figure anything out. So we'll have to do it.
I don't think so. I think, you know, they'll, you know, we'll still have stuff to talk to, because it'll depend on what's happened since then. Like in Florida, DeSantis working his butt off to get that state up and running, pal. I mean,
the earliest polls won't close till 5 o'clock Mountain Time.
I know that, but they have exit polling and you know, Eastern Standard Time.
You can't rely on that crap.
Okay.
I mean, we have to be credible. You know, we can't parrot the network's pie in the sky crap.
It doesn't matter about their pie in the sky. We got a breakfast bet on this, so it's
well. All right,
it's important to me. You owe me 3 breakfasts already.
Already, yeah. you're gonna be fat. Well, the border's open, so come on down and collect.
Well, I got to get my passport. I still haven't got it back.
Why is your passport somewhere not with you?
Because my government is, like, you know, in the fishbowl, I guess. I don't know.
They took your passport?
It expired in April, and I sent it in May, and I still haven't gotten it back.
That's ridiculous.
Of course it's ridiculous. I had to pay for it.
Come on, you're a liberal state. You're a
country.
Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, you're in a liberal province, I should say, or whatever you call those things.
Yeah. Yeah. Be nice. We're a commodity-oriented economy that supports you 100%. So
why not? Huh?
Yeah.
All right. So here we go.
So real quick, will international relations, like the war in Ukraine, the warmongering, if there's an October surprise, like, you know, Putin dumping a nuke in this war, wouldn't he? I shouldn't say this, but it's got to be said. No one else will. I mean, I could see him trying to push push Americans to support the president and the Democratic Party in a time of war. I could see him do that, because he doesn't want
to. What advantage? To what advantage?
You get not allow the Republicans to get in.
What does it matter?
Well, it's just a topic, Tom. I'm asking your opinion.
Okay, no, I'm just asking.
Okay, your answer is you don't care. Okay.
No, I do care. I just want to know why does anything in Russia affect us?
Oh, so you don't think the warmongering and your support of Ukraine has anything to do with people's voting?
Well, no, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. I think people are pissed that more we're spending money over there, but you know, nobody's feeling the pain of it. I mean, you get I haven't gotten a bill for the Ukraine war.
Nobody's, yeah, you have. It's called inflation, and it's
that doesn't have anything to do with the
interest.
That doesn't have anything to do with Ukraine.
It has everything to do with it.
That has your everything sovereign, to do with
your debt is so over. It's so bloated, and now, you know, you're 51% of the global sovereign debt, and you know, no one wants to talk about it, and if it has an impact. But mm-hmm. Okay, what about mm-hmm. the market? Do you think the market's going to have any impact, having dropped $9 trillion
$9 trillion in a month?
Not in a month, but
It went down 3,600 points from the 12th to the 30th of September. So
I appreciate sure that, but the overall loss,
yeah,
the loss in the last month was close to 5, but the overall loss since Biden's taken over is 9. You don't think that has any bearing on
the economy? The economy is going to be serious in states where conservatives are, and they're going to vote the people back into office. So that's not going to change seats.
And do you think this Republican running in New York, you know, for the governor, has any chance?
No.
Okay.
Not a chance.
Okay.
You run God against a Democrat in New York, and wouldn't happen.
This from the guy who said that if Hillary shot the Pope on the White House lawn, she'd still win.
She'd still win. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, she shot him.
Yeah. Okay. If you say so. All right.
Hypothetically speaking.
Yeah. Okay. Any final thoughts here? I think we both made it clear. You think the Republicans are going to take the House and the Senate? I do not. And so where do we go from here?
And I also think if they don't, Trump doesn't win. If they take both houses, mm-hmm. it'll be Trump and DeSantis for president, vice mm-hmm. president 24, with DeSantis getting to be president for two terms, in 28
and 32. Yeah. I will predict DeSantis is not interested in the least in being vice president under Trump. That won't happen.
Well, they're pretty good friends.
Well, they may be friends, but DeSantis doesn't want to be the second banana.
Well, so if you end up the banana twice, it's a pretty good trip. I mean, Biden did it. Biden had to be vice president for 8 years, but he did it.
Well, yeah, but look at Biden's no DeSantis.
No, but DeSantis only has to wait 4 years. So, I mean, if Trump doesn't win, it's either Abbott or DeSantis, and I think DeSantis wins because they can't win the election without Florida, but mm-hmm. Texas is not even close to purple. I mean, it's like about as hard red as you can make it.
Well, pretty much, yeah. I don't know. In my estimation, Trump's done like dinner. No way he'll get the nomination. If he can run if he wants to, but he's not getting the nomination.
No, we have
too much baggage, too much problem.
Again, another breakfast bet. So yeah. See.
Okay. I'm ready to collect on that one.
Yeah, I mean,
that's an easy one. Yep. That's an easy one.
All right. Well, we've taken up enough time for everybody and given them all the information they need if they haven't been paying
except
attention.
Except for what's on the screen. Yeah.
I'm going to let you get there. You said closing thoughts. I'm just saying thank you to everyone that joined us today and hope you got the information with regards to the election across your country. It's a great thing.
That's right. Well, Shane and I will talk more about this on our radio show, which is every Saturday, 8 to 11 a.m. Mountain Time. You can listen live at kmmsam.com. Click listen now. Nothing to join, no signups, no email, joining of anything. You just go over there and do what you're doing right now, listening to us for free. No problem. And if you'd like a sample of what we do on our radio show, there are past shows, including this one will be up shortly. That's also at kmmsam.com. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast, and you will be taken over there. to all of our great shows and all of that. Hey, don't forget to subscribe. If you're a YouTube listener and watcher, hit the subscribe button. Nothing will happen to you. You might win the lottery. I can't guarantee that, but you never know.
But you won't disappear.
No, you won't disappear. Aliens will not come down and get you, I promise you. Ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified, no matter what time zone you're in, of our next podcast. And like us, leave a comment, because YouTube likes that kind of stuff. And Shane and I both write on Medium.com. Medium.com, go over there. There's a link in the description below for our articles and our thoughts on various topics. So get over and check that out. If you'd like to help us out monetarily, there is some cost involved in putting this on flawlessly as we do. But, hey, we would love your support, and we'll do lots of great things for you if you do that. And we do these on StreamYard, so if you'd like to do them yourself, there's a link to a free version in the description below. A couple more comments here real quick, Shane. Let's see. Linda says, thanks. I bet you a steak you are wrong, Tom. All right, Linda.
Hi, girl, Linda. You go all in, Linda.
When I get back to Illinois, we'll chat. We'll chat about that. So that'll be good. So let's see. What else we got here? Trump DeSantis 2024, then Trump bows out in 2 years. There you go. That's a thought there. What do you think, Shane?
No.
Don't think that'll happen, huh?
No.
All right.
No, Trump would never back out of anything. He's a winner. He's not.
That's the same with DeSantis. I don't think DeSantis wants to be the second running horse. So yeah. We'll see. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Tom's in Bozeman, Shane's in Kamloops, Canada, of all places.
Yo, baby.
That's where all the Vietnam deserters went. Right? They're all in Kamloops. All right. All right, that's going to do it for us, folks. Thanks for watching. Particularly all of you guys. Don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, like us, leave a comment. We'd appreciate that very much. And we'll see you on our next podcast, which will be on Thursday. Bye for now.